Welcome home, neighbors.
This is the Galvin family from Chicago, Illinois, and owners at Disney's Polynesian Village Resort. You're listening to my DVC points.
Parents and the children could have fun together.
Please board quickly and safely. Our monorail will be departing momentarily.
Welcome to the My DVC Points podcast. Join the conversation as DVC members share their stories, personal preferences, and magical memories. Your reservation is confirmed. Your fast passes are booked. Pull up on the yellow strap because our journey into the magic of membership is about to begin.
To infinity and beyond.
Now, here's your host and curator of magical stories, Chad Pennycuff.
Welcome home, neighbors, to episode 36 of the My DVC Points podcast. Today's episode is brought to you by our friends over at DVCResaleMarket.com. When you're suffering from add-on-itis and you need to add on a few points, or if you're like me and you need to add on a whole lot of points, head on over to DVCResaleMarket.com. Every single guide there is a former Disney direct guide. That means you can get that Disney buying experience without having to pay the Disney price tag. Head on over to DVCResaleMarket.com and let them know you heard about them here on the My DVC Points podcast. At the beginning of every episode, you hear this quote from Walt talking about a place where parents and the children can come together. And that is a very touching, gripping quote. And in today's episode, we're going to talk about that same experience, but we're going to do it from a different perspective. See, as DVC members, we come all the time, some of us multiple times a year. And it's nothing for us to pack up our kids and head down there and hop on Magical Express. A lot of times we're in the parks that night and we don't think anything of it. However, other families don't have it quite so lucky. In today's episode, we're meeting Aaron Del Prince, and he spends an awful lot of his time, talent, and treasure raising money for Give Kids the World so that families that have critically ill children can experience the same magic of Disney that we've all come to know and love. Well, I'd like to welcome to the show today my friend Aaron. Aaron, how you doing?
Not too bad, Chad. Just another great day and doing really well. Thanks.
Oh, that's cool. Now, we met about a year ago this time at your Indianapolis fundraiser meetup. Do you want to give the listeners just a real quick shout out for what that is?
Yes. If I remember right, that was August of 2018, last year. And it was the Indy Disney Meet, and this is an annual event that we've been holding now. This will be our 12th year. The Indy Disney Meet started in 2007. It's a fan gathering of theme park fans from across, I used to say Indiana, I'm saying the Midwest now, and maybe someday we'll say the country, but it is a fan gathering, and it's also a fundraiser for Give Kids the World. I'm often asked, what is the Indy Disney Meet? What is this all about? And I tell people it is a fan gathering of theme park fans from across the Midwest. We come together for one day this year. It'll be September 21st, Saturday. And we get together and just have a great day full of entertainment, full of activities. A lot of our favorite Disney personalities come together for one day. We'll go over all of that entertainment, who's going to be there.
Yeah, who do we have lined up this year, Aaron?
Oh, we have a great lineup this year, Chad. The best lineup we've ever had and the biggest lineup we've ever had. So that's going to include, from entertainment, a gentleman by the name of Brian Hull, H-U-L-L. He is a Disney impressionist. He does Disney voices. If you ever visit his YouTube channel, you would know that he does exceptional Disney impressions of all of the animated characters. Just does a fabulous job, and we're really excited to have him this year. He's coming all the way from California to be with us, so excited to have him. Also, coming in from Orlando, from Disney's Port Orleans Riverside, we're going to have Yeehaw Bob.
Yeehaw! All right.
Yeah, so he's going to be joining us. He was at our event in 2017. He's coming back again this year, and we're really excited to have him. He really pumps up the crowd, and he'll be on our main stage in the afternoon.
Yeah, I have never seen him. Part of it's just DVC snob, I guess, right? I just don't make it over to Port Orleans that often, other than to snag a beignet or something.
So. Exactly. Well, Port Orleans Riverside is not in that DVC collection. So, you know, getting over there isn't usually at the top of the list, but Yeehaw Bob is one reason you need to go over there, because he is fantastic. He performs Wednesdays through Sundays, I think at 8 o'clock, and he puts on quite a show, about 2 hours, you know, high energy, great family entertainment. So he'll be there this year. We're also going to have some regulars that join us, Jim Hill from the Disney Dish podcast, Lou Mangiello. I think a lot of the folks in the Disney fan community know Lou, WDW Radio. Also, Jeff Barnes, author Jeff Barnes, motivational speaker. Also joining us this year is former VP of Operations at Walt Disney World, Lee Cockrell. Also, ex-Imagineer McNair Wilson. They'll be there for a special hard-ticketed event that's going to happen the morning of the Indy Disney Meet. That's September 21st. It's going to start at 10 o'clock, and that's a special hard ticketed event that you have to purchase tickets in advance for. So we're excited to have that group coming as well.
Well, real quick then, if listeners need a ticket, the acronym throws me. It's MWFK.org, right? MagicalWishesForKids.org.
Yes, that is correct. That is our website, and that's where you can find out all the information about the hard ticketed event, the Indy Disney Meet itself, and then all of the goings on and happenings around the Indy Disney Meet. It's important to know, Chad, that admission to the Indy Disney Meet is free. However, this hard ticketed event that we're doing the morning of or before the meet does cost money. It's $10 for general admission, and there is VIP seating for $50. So just know that.
And all of that money goes to charity, right?
Exactly. All of the money we raise before, during, and even a little bit after this event goes to Give Kids the World. We hold nothing back. Magical Wishes for Kids is a 501c3. We work towards our mission, which is donating money and passing money through to Give Kids the World, which is a resort village in Central Florida near Walt Disney World that houses children and their families, critically ill children and their families who wish to go to Walt Disney World. They are the organization that houses, that facilitates the trip for that week-long vacation to Walt Disney World.
Most excellent. And so, like, Make-A-Wish is what we're familiar with hearing, and Make-A-Wish would find a kid, they would raise the money, and they would grant the wish, and then they hand it over to Give Kids the World? How does that transition work? What's the relationship there?
Right. So Make-A-Wish is one of many, they're a large one, but one of many wish-granting organizations that Give Kids the World works with. And I know that the amount of wish-granting organizations that Give Kids the World works with is in the hundreds. So there are a number of them. And they take families from those wish-granting organizations and facilitate the vacation for these children and their families. So think about flying to Orlando. Think about getting from the airport to Give Kids the World. Think about...
Yeah, they ain't just grabbing an Uber, are they?
No. They have to have special facilities for the families and for the children, handicap accessible, getting them from the airport to the village. And then once they're there, then they, the villas, all of the rooms are there for them. They have to be handicap accessible.
You're talking critically ill kids here.
Yes.
Right? This is not like it's a normal hotel operation.
Exactly. Everything has to be accessible to the children. And really what Give Kids the World is about saying yes to the kids that are there, because when they're home in their normal lives, whatever normal is, a lot of times they're told they can't do certain things. Well, when they're at Give Kids the World, Give Kids the World goes out of their way to say yes. The ice cream for breakfast at Give Kids the World is a great example. Kids wake up, if they want to go have ice cream, they just say, hey, I want to go have ice cream. And the parents and Give Kids the World say, yes, absolutely. Come on in. Ice cream parlor's open. Really, the village goes out of their way to do everything they can to give the children a week-long vacation where everything is yes and not no.
Wow, that's incredibly cool. Now, I know this from talking with you off air, but I think this is such a noteworthy fact. I want to bring this up as well. When we say 100% of the money that you guys raise goes to Magical Wishes for Kids, 100% of that goes to Give Kids the World.
Right. So our mission is basically to pass money through to Give Kids the World. We support the village in any way we can, and our biggest support is monetary. So all the money we raise throughout the year, we donate to the village. And basically, we have a process that starts, you know, once the Indie Disney meet is over, we basically are hitting the reset button and starting another year of raising money for Give Kids the World. So at the end of this year's Indie Disney meet, we'll tally up all the money we raised throughout 2019, end of 2018, and we'll come up with the number. We'll announce it at the Indie Disney meet. And at the end of the year, we'll go down to Orlando and we'll present Give Kids the World with a check. Last year, we had raised $43,000. And every year we say the same thing. Our goal is to raise a dollar more than what we raised the year before. So this year, you know, we want to raise $43,001. If we do that, we've met our goal. So that's kind of the same deal this year. You know, we'll announce at the end that here's what we've raised. And sometime in November, October, November, December, we'll go down to Give Kids the World and present them with our year donation.
Yeah. And from what I remember in talking with you, you have a team of volunteers that are around you, right? There's a couple thousand people that come in for this event. You couldn't pull that off without a whole army of volunteers.
That is correct. The volunteers are the lifeblood of our organization, because without them, we couldn't do this. I try to make that as clear as I possibly can, because it's true. We have 25 to 30 planning volunteers that work tirelessly throughout the year to plan this event and other events for that matter. I mean, back in May, we hosted a character breakfast at a local restaurant. This summer, we hosted a virtual 5K. And then obviously, you know, our big event, the Indie Disney meet. And then, you know, we do some Dine to Donates and just other events throughout the year that help us raise additional money, you know, for Give Kids the World at the end of the year as part of our big donation. But our volunteers are critical to us being successful. We split our teams up into committees. You know, we have food committee, we have an entertainment committee, we have an expo committee. Everybody's kind of running in their own direction. And then usually, I think it's, well, it's usually every other Sunday. You know, we have a volunteer meeting, we get together and we all discuss, you know, what we've done, what we're doing, what we're supposed to do. You know, we start planning for the Indie Disney meet on the 21st of September. But again, you know, the volunteers are critical to our success.
Absolutely. I mean, I remember last year and I showed up just on an invite because our friends, well, they've recorded some episodes with us. Chris Malik, he'll be there again this year, correct?
That is correct. Yes.
Right. And then Chris Salata, well, he's a regular recurring guest on my show as well. And from Behind the Ears podcast, he's going to be there as well.
We're excited. I mean, we've had some staples that have been a part of our event over the years. Behind the Ears podcast has been one. You know, WW Review podcast has been another. You know, we're excited to have returned visitors. It's really interesting, some of the reaction that we get from the first time people who attend the meet, because they come into it not knowing, you know, what to expect. What is it? They just show up. And usually at the end, they're pulling me aside going, "This is unbelievable." they have no idea what it is. And then after it's over or towards the end of it, they're just like, you know, kind of awestruck in as to what it is and how successful it is and what a great time they've had during the day. So,
yeah. So just so the listeners know, I'll give you my take on it from last year. There's like this big main event stage and then hundreds of tables and chairs in front of it. There's a buffet line of donated food. It just goes, it seems like an eternity, you know, probably what, 50, 60 yards, I'm thinking. It's huge, right?
Yes, yeah, absolutely. You know, it's funny, Chad, because it's only been about 4 years since we've had restaurants donate food. Before that, it was just a pitch-in. And as guests would come in, everybody brought a covered dish in. And by the time everybody had shown up, our table was so full of food and the amount of food we had left over was incredible that we had to keep up that tradition by getting a number of restaurants to donate food, because otherwise people would have been like, "Where's all the food?"
Well, I mean, you're feeding a couple thousand people. You know, you're there for what, 5-6 hours?
Yes.
So that's enough time for people to eat twice. So
the word grazing comes to mind.
Yeah, I'm telling you, right? And then there's my favorite, okay, the Dole Whip machine. So you guys got Dole Whip to come in and donate some stuff as well, correct?
That is correct. And the history of the Dole Whips at the Indie Disney meet. So the second meet we ever had, one of the people who attended called me up one day and said, "Hey, you know, I got this idea. Why don't I rent an ice cream machine? I'll get some Dole Whip mix and I'll bring it and we'll have Dole Whips." And I said, "Where the heck are you going to get Dole Whip mix at?" He goes, "Oh, it's available. You can buy it from Hawaii and they'll ship it over." This was like 2008. And I was like, well, I said, "If you can pull it off, you go right ahead." And sure
Knock
enough.
Yourself out.
Yeah. Yeah, sure enough, he comes in there with the machine. He had the mix. He mixed it. We had it, and we've been doing it ever since for the last 11 years. And back in 2008, when we did it, we must have been the only, like, one of four places you could get it in the country, right? Because nobody else was doing it. You know, now it's more common, but back in 08, it just wasn't. And, you know, it just floored me. And we've been doing it ever since.
Yeah, well, hi, my name is Chad, and I'm a Dole Whip addict, so... You can find me hitting that machine a few times, I can just say. Now, other than that, we've got like the live entertainment that's going on.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then there's what? Is it the 501? Is it the 501st? Is that number right?
Yes. Yeah, so characters, right? So the 501st Legion is an organization that they have different legions and different chapters throughout the country. And they're basically Star Wars characters, right? They are approved by Lucasfilm to go to charity events, to work with Disney. So they have been coming for the last 8 years to our event. And, you know, it's great, great photo opportunities. We'll have some backdrops. We don't know exactly what characters they bring with them. We don't announce that because we just don't know. But they are a fantastic group to work with. You know, they've had stormtroopers. We've had Darth Vader.
They're essentially some very, 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 very serious cosplayers, right? When I say serious, I mean... They see this stuff as their art and their craft.
Right.
So
their uniforms are to the T. They can't afford any deviation from what, you know, is real versus what they actually have. They are on point. It's a great opportunity, you know, to take pictures. We also have a local group of princesses that come and they cover the gamut of princesses. You have the little girls covered, you have the boys covered, and you have the adults covered too, because, you know, adults like to take pictures with characters, right?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. So between that, the food, the entertainment, okay. And the other thing that's really cool that goes on there isn't there like a huge auction that you guys do?
Yes. Yeah, so our auction gets bigger and bigger every year. It's a silent auction. It used to be that you could only participate when you were at the Indie Disney meet. But this year, actually last year was the first year we took it online. And again, this year it'll be online as well. It'll go live the Sunday before the Indie Disney meet. So 6 days before the meet, we'll turn up the auction and anybody at that point can bid. And then once you come to the meet, you can actually see all of the items in person for the folks at the meet. You can still bid online if you'd like. In fact, all of the bidding is online. There are no sheets anymore that we used to have. All the bidding is done online through your handheld device, your smartphone. If you're at home, you can use your computer. It's all online now, and it's about 130, 140 items that we'll have. And again, all theme park related items. You know, very rare that you would see something that's not related to the theme parks, but we'll have some great, great items in our auction. Some of them are, all of them are really technically donated. You know, we have the expo, our expo participants bring in a donation. They'll drop it on our auction table. Some of the volunteers donate. We have external sources that donate. You know, it takes about 9 months to collect everything for our silent auction.
Yeah, I mean, it is really something to be said. Some of the items that come in there. I know last year you had like a Haunted Mansion themed. What's the word I'm looking for here? Like in auctions, it's a group or a collection.
Yeah, like a package.
Yeah. So and I know I'm missing the exact words here, but there's a package of, and there was a whole Haunted Mansion theme. It included a full-size Dooney and Burke Haunted Mansion purse.
Yes, and I believe, if I'm not mistaken, I believe that was actually donated by Behind Ears Podcast, if I remember correctly. That's just an example of how we collect these items through the generosity of our external friends. And, you know, they come with all these great auction items. And again, that's a huge component of the money that we raise during this event.
And again, the link for the auction, it'll be on your website, right? Magical Wishes for Kids, MWFK.org.
Yes, the link for the auction will be there, and also on our social media outlets. So Facebook, Twitter, you can find us at Indie Disney Meet. If you like our page, you'll see our posts in your news feed. Like I said, the auction is going to go live on the Sunday before the Indie Disney Meet. That would be Sunday, September 15th. It'll go live.
Yeah. And just for myself, listeners are welcome to come through my site as well. I forward over to his site because I can never keep that web address straight, but I can remember mydvcpoints.com/for the kids. That'll take you straight over to Aaron's site. Right. That's my way of getting there now, because I can never remember. I have to think about it too much. It's too many consonants. I don't know. Or I'm just an incapable host. I tell me. I don't know.
The other big component of our event is we have an expo. In the expo, we have various travel agents, podcasters, authors, any kind of like Disney-related services are in our expo. And also our entertainment is in our expo. That we'll have, you know, each of our entertainers will have a table where you can go and visit them. You know, in the expo, you'll see people like, you know, you'll see Lou Mangiello, you'll see Lee Cockrell, who'll have a table, you know, Bob Jackson, Yeehaw Bob will have a table there. So all of our entertainment will be there, as well as... And
somehow I'm getting in on that list, right?
So you got it.
I'm stepping up in the world to come to this one.
So. That's right. So you'll see all of your podcasters, your favorite travel agents. One thing I have to mention, you know, in our expo, you're going to see different travel agents in there. You're going to see different podcasters in there. And at the end of the day, all of these great people put their business needs and wants aside, and we all come together to raise money for Give Kids the World. Nobody's worried about customers or who's got this customer or that customer. It's really more about, you know, saying hello to their faithful friends and trying to raise money for Give Kids the World. We put all business aside and we come together for one day, September 21st, and we're there to raise money for Give Kids the World. That's really what's front and center. I think that's what makes me really feel good, is when I see owners of travel agents talking to each other, shaking hands, saying hello. That means a lot, because we're there to raise money for an incredible cause.
Yeah, on the travel agent side, I can see that. Most of the podcasters that I know, and all of them that I know that you know there, we play pretty nice together in the sandbox. Yeah. We're on each other's shows. And I know last year I got to fanboy out. I got to meet Mike Rallman from Be Our Guest podcast. Yeah. That was really kind of cool. Was really excited to get to meet him.
Mike has been involved in our event for years. He loves coming to it. We love having him. And he'll be on the main stage with Ricky and Pam Forrester, doing a Be Our Guest podcast. It's always the end of our meet is when they do their podcast. And it's just a great way to end it, really, because, again, those guys are just, they're just really special. You know, our title sponsor this year is the Magic for Less Travel. You know, they really stepped up this year and helped us out. So, you know, it's going to be great to see those guys. You know, I don't get a chance to see them that often. And when I do, and they come to Indy, you know, we really try to, you know, roll out the welcome mat.
I know I'm looking forward to coming there and meeting all of the other podcasters and celebrities and that kind of a thing. And, you know, I know a few of our listeners have already said in the Facebook group that they're going to come as well. And I always love meeting people that listen to the show as well. So I will be looking forward to meeting everybody that's going to come back in for that as well.
Absolutely. You know, again, admission is free September 21st from 11 to 7 p.m. in Noblesville, Indiana. That's a suburb of Indianapolis. We're going to be located at the Hamilton County Fairgrounds, and we're taking over the fairgrounds, believe me. You know, our event, we take the main hall plus, you know, some other halls with it. So that's where it's at. You can find out all the information about the event on our Facebook page, on Twitter at Indy Disney Meet, and then also at MWFK.org, which is our website. It's our 501c3 Magical Wishes for Kids. All of your questions can be answered there.
Perfect. Yeah, I look forward to meeting everybody there. I look forward to seeing you again, Aaron. I know we got to run into each other when we were at Disney last, 2 weekends ago or something along those lines?
Yes.
I'll be looking forward to seeing you again at the Indy Meet and meeting the rest of your team and staff and everybody there.
Absolutely. Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. You know, it's going to be a hectic day. There's no doubt about it. I'll be running around like crazy. You know, I see you. I'll definitely give you a pat on the back and a handshake. And
keep going. Keep getting it done, buddy. Yeah. Keep getting it done. So
absolutely. I like to compare the Indy Disney Meet to a wedding. You plan it all year, and then it's one day, and it's over in the blink of an eye.
Very good. Well, you know, speaking of that, since I won't get a chance to hang out with you and talk DVC then, and I got you on the line now, let's jump into a little bit of your DVC story just for fun.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I just got to do it. I mean, it's what I do. Okay.
Yes, I'll start. My story started in 1993. I was getting my master's degree and I was in a classroom. My professor had just got back from a trip from Walt Disney World. He walks in the room and he goes, mind you, this was a communications degree that I was getting. He walks in the room and he said, I just came back from the most incredible thing you'd ever seen. And I said, well, you know, we all were like, well, what is it? He goes, I walked into something called Epcot and I wanted to get something to eat. I had to make a reservation and they told me to go to this video kiosk thing and talk to somebody and make a reservation. Well, they actually had to show me, you know, how to use it. And I was talking to somebody over video, making a reservation in the park. I called my wife that night and I said, hey, you know, maybe because we were getting married in 1994, you know, the following year, I said, maybe we should go to Walt Disney World for our honeymoon. You know, this guy was our professor was just telling us about how cool it was. So we decided to do it. We booked everything. In 94, we went for the first time for our honeymoon. As we were there, I told my wife, I said, we'll never be able to afford to stay at some of these deluxe resorts. Look how nice they are. They have to be, you know, $400 or $500 a night or something like that. We'd never be able to.
So far out of reach.
Yeah, exactly. Right. So, you know, as the years went by, you know, we'd go back on a yearly basis and it seemed like we wanted to go more often than just once a year. And I started thinking about DVC and I looked into it and I thought, geez, it's expensive. You know, I don't know if I can do that. I'm just too cheap. You know,
this was 93 and Saratoga didn't open up till after 2000. So that.
So
that, a few years of looking there.
Yes. And thinking about it. Right. And yeah, I wish, you know, obviously you wish you would have bought sooner. Right. Isn't that the story of every DVC member? I wish I had bought 2-3 years before that.
You know, I've only interviewed one person who didn't say that. And he's an original Old Key West owner. So
So it was 2004. You know, we took the plunge. We bought Saratoga Springs. I think at the time it was like $77 a point with, you know, after the incentives and everything.
Dirt cheap.
Yeah, right.
By today's standards.
By today's standards, that's right. So $77 a point, we bought, I think it was 180 point contract, and we were off and running. My favorite resort on property is Animal Kingdom Lodge. So when they announced that, I told my wife, I said, I'm sorry, we're going to have to buy a contract there.
So Adonitis is real.
I mean, literally, you know, the day that you could buy points, I had already called my guide and said, the day that you can do it, just put me in for, you know, 150 points. I'm in. So I think at the time, I think we ended up paying, I want to say $85 or $86 a point for Animal Kingdom Lodge. We were one of the first buyers in Animal Kingdom Lodge. Again, I always think of Animal Kingdom Lodge as if they didn't exist, I could go to Animal Kingdom Lodge and still have a vacation. You know,
you could do that for any of them, but especially Animal Kingdom.
Agreed. I mean, there's so much to do there and it's surrounded by a freaking zoo. So there's just so much to do there that I can make a week long vacation out of just staying at the lodge. Again, that's my favorite. We bought a contract there. And so that's basically our story. I mean, we've been going to Walt Disney World ever since. We constantly go there, and DVC made it even more possible for us because, you know, staying deluxe is a huge advantage, and you have the accommodations paid for when you go down. And so it's really, combine it with an annual pass, you know, now you're talking, I really don't have to pay for tickets now because I've already paid for them up front. My accommodations are already paid for. All you have to think about is food and if you want to buy souvenirs, and your vacation is pretty well paid for. So
yeah, airfare or driving, one of the two.
Exactly. Right. So going down to Disney World became a lot easier after we, you know, purchased our DVC. That's our story.
Cool. And so is Animal Kingdom still your favorite place?
It is. Absolutely. You know, that's one of the first places I'd look when I'm trying to book, especially one of the great things about Animal Kingdom Lodge is you can book club level accommodations. So I'm online 11 months out trying to get club level. It's not guaranteed. Sometimes you have to walk the reservation, which I don't, you know, I'm not a big fan of that. So trying to get it at 11 months is not a guaranteed deal. So, I mean, if you have to be on there 11 months, the morning of, you got a good shot.
Oh yeah. Oh but yeah. That club level, club and value there, man, that's a dogfight for those.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
I tell people that are looking at buying Animal Kingdom, I'm like, well, you can usually get it at 7 months, almost always.
Mm-hmm.
But if you want to get in that dogfight for club level or value, you need to own there. There's just no other way around it.
So it's still my favorite resort. It's right there with the Polynesian. You know, I love those two resorts. You know,
okay, then now I got to hone this in a little bit more. Are you Team Jumbo or Team Kidani?
So I'm Team Jumbo. I like the main building. I like the feel of the main building. I'm very comfortable there. The lobby is fantastic. The dining is fantastic. I like the amenities better at Jambo than I do Kidani. Not to say Kidani's amenities aren't great. They are, but I'm just more comfortable in Jambo House.
Okay, so then my next question then, are you a studio person, one bedroom or two bedroom?
I'm a one bedroom person. However, you know, you want to stretch your points out as much as possible. So from that standpoint, I tend to be more on the studio side. It really depends on the type of trip we're going to have. If I think we're going to be in the parks very, you know, quite often, I'll book a studio. If I think we're going to be at the resort more often than the parks, then I'll look at the one bedroom. But I want to make sure we're going to use the accommodations if I'm going to pay extra for the accommodations.
Oh, absolutely. And I could make the case of you could get a one bedroom value for almost what it would cost to be like a poly studio.
That is true.
To me, you can like really, really, really milk that. But that is the benefit that Animal Kingdom owners get, is they get in the fight for that. And even if you don't get in on it, you can still get in on the wait list for that room at the 11 month mark to the day.
Yes.
So when something opens up, you're going to be pretty high on the list to try to get in.
Yes. And the club level at Animal Kingdom Lodge is really, really good. I don't think I've ever had a bad experience there. I've probably been up there 5 or 6 times. And every time I've been up there, it's been phenomenal. You know, great staff. The food is really good. Comfortable. Very comfortable.
I'm looking forward to it. One of these days, I'm going to figure out how to weasel in or trade points on an exchange with an Animal Kingdom owner or something. It's like a hashtag life goal. Okay. It's on my DVC bucket list. Value and club level. I got to hit the extremes there at Jambo.
Yep. Next time I'm up there, I'll give you a call. I'll invite you up.
Ah, there we go. There we go. I can at least come in and room crash and maybe hit the bar on your point tab. So.
That's the best I can offer you.
Hey, man, it's better than what I got going over at Saratoga on my network point contract there. So.
Yes. Yep.
Oh, most excellent. Now, when you guys go down, do you normally drive or fly?
Normally we fly. Yeah, I've driven one time. And after that one time, I turned to my wife and I said, this just isn't for us. You know, it's flying out of Indianapolis is actually really nice. It's the airport's really good. Airfare is not terrible. So, you know, sometimes you can get a really good deal, sometimes not. But even when you can't get a good deal, it's still reasonable airfare.
Yeah, well, that's always good to know as well. I know from Detroit, I can pick up a Spirit flight sometimes for $60 each way. And that's when I just start, you know, grooming for what can I find. And it never fails. I'm in that situation now where they've got all these $60 fares up there, but it's all during food and wine. And there's no availability to be had any place across DVC.
Right. You know, I'm asked about, you know, tips about traveling to Walt Disney World. And I think the number one tip I try to tell people is when you're flying out of your airport to Orlando, get morning flights, you know, get early flights, because number one, the chance of a delay is a lot less likely first thing in the morning. And then number two, you know, you don't have to worry about weather delays leaving Orlando, because obviously as the day goes along in Orlando, humidity builds up and you get these storms. They close the, not the airport, but the runways close, and sometimes you can get stuck there. So that's the one thing I always tell people is like, get early flights. You know, you're going to do yourself a favor if you can get in and out of your home airport and Orlando early.
See, now here's my deal against early flights. I can usually cheese a half a day of work in and take like a 4 p.m. flight and leave the office at noon and still count it as a full day.
That's true.
So by my employer's work rules, I can still get paid for a full day as long as I don't abuse that.
Yeah.
And so I usually try to like cheese that out and sneak an extra day onto my vacation that way.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that is true.
But one of these days, I keep saying I need to just bite the bullet and take an early flight and get there so that I'm checking in at 4 o'clock when the room gets ready and I can shoot the really cool room videos that are well lit. Every time I get there, it's dark at night.
I can remember a 5 a.m. flight out of Indianapolis, and we arrived in Orlando at 7 a.m. We were on Magical Express at 7:30. We got to Animal Kingdom by 8:15, 8:30. They welcomed us in. We went up to club level. We checked in and we were sitting there eating breakfast. And I looked at my wife and I go, didn't we just leave Indy like 3 hours ago? It was nuts because, you know, you're thinking of, I'm sitting here eating breakfast And we just left Indianapolis like 3.5 hours ago, you know, so it's really amazing how quickly they can move you through the airport, Magical Express, and get you to a resort so you can start your vacation. One of the best things, really.
Oh, absolutely. Let's jump into our rapid fire questions. So Dole Whip or Mickey Bar?
I'm going to go with the Dole Whip, but not by much.
Okay. Churro or Mickey Pretzel?
Mickey Pretzel.
Poncho or umbrella?
I'm going to go umbrella.
Do you wear ears or rock a t-shirt?
T-shirt.
Favorite park?
Epcot.
Favorite land?
Right now, Star Wars.
Ooh, Galaxy's Edge.
First Absolutely.
I've heard of those.
Yes.
What's your favorite attraction?
Spaceship Earth.
Really?
Yes.
I've never found the draw to that, other than it's a nice little nap at the end of my day.
I don't know what it is, but it was the first ride I've ever experienced at Walt Disney World. That's probably something to do with. The other thing it is I'm an IT guy. So going through the history of communications is like, you know, that's like the end all be all for me.
That is your livelihood. So
absolutely. It resonates with me. So,
okay, perfect. And what's the best place on property to relax and enjoy a drink or a dessert?
Geyser Point.
Oh, my man.
Yeah, so, absolutely. That is fantastic. It's right by the water. Quiet. Great.
The last time when we met and hung out there, mm-hmm. we went to Geyser Point. Was that your first trip there, or had you been there before?
No, I had been there. And believe me, when I want to get away from the crowds and I need some quiet time, that's the first place that comes to mind. Just a great venue, open, great breeze, right by the water, great food, great drinks. It's perfect.
Gotcha. Because I know a listener suggested, hey, let's meet up at Geyser Point. And I know when I threw that out there, I didn't get any pushback from you. So I didn't know it was your absolute favorite. So.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Just to relax. Absolutely. To get away from it all, for sure.
Gotcha. Now, when you go to Disney, how many people in your family or travel party typically go with you?
It's usually just three of us. It's my daughter, my wife, and myself. Every once in a great while, we'll meet family there, or we'll have family come with us, but it's not very often.
Perfect. And then, what are some of your favorite Disney memories, stories?
You know, one of the memories I have is when my daughter, she was probably about 6 or 7 years old, a cast member pulled her out before at the time it was Spectrum Magic Parade. Cast member pulled my daughter out, brought her out on the main street, gave her a handful of, you know, what she called pixie dust. And she said, you throw this in the air, and when you throw it in the air, you'll turn the lights off. And the parade will start. And, you know, she looked a little skeptical. You know, she wasn't sure that that would actually work. But sure enough, she walked out there and the cast member gave her the cue and she threw it in the air. And sure enough, the lights went out and the parade started. And seeing the amazement in my daughter's face was probably one of the best memories I have. So, yeah, excellent.
Yeah, way cool. Do you happen to have that on video or?
I don't have it on video, but I have it recorded in my head.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
The old cranium VHS tape there.
Yes, absolutely. So there was that. I mean, most of the experiences or the memories that we have are really cast member related. It seems like, you know, cast members are the ones that are responsible for making our memories. I mean, we do a lot on our own and we go out and we experience things. But when cast members get involved, it seems to really plus up or amp up the experience. So, yeah, that's probably what I would say. The number one memory for me was that. I know I have been up the Cinderella Castle Dream Suite. That was, I'll never forget that moment. That was really, really cool going up there and seeing that during it was an annual pass holder like preview for like a week that they allowed us up there. That was really cool.
Wow, that would be really cool. From what I understand, that's a very exclusive, hard place to get into.
Mm-hmm. Yes, today, definitely.
Yeah, I'll be keeping my annual pass up on the lookout for that one.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. It's, and you know, I mean, they've been doing this thing with, you know, with Galaxy's Edge, they had platinum only annual pass previews. And, you know, you wonder if that's going to be more of a trend where they, you know, allow platinum pass holders into more exclusive events and venues. We'll see how that goes.
Yeah. They're in the upper tiers of that, which I mean, for something like Galaxy's Edge, I could kind of see that happening because that was a nuthouse, crazy, sold out thing to get into in the first place. So they had to have some limiting factor to it. So they might as well come back in and do that. And I know several people who, when they made that announcement, went ahead and upgraded to the Platinum Pass just so they could get into it.
Absolutely. You know, when I went for annual pass previews and I was talking to people inside the land that I knew that I saw, they were in the same boat. They said, hey, we upgraded just for this. And I started thinking about it and I was like, yeah, that makes a lot of sense. I guess now I see why they did it this way.
Well, I can tell you I went during the annual pass preview at Disney World, and then I went in the limited access at Disneyland, and I really, really, really enjoyed the elbow room, the limited attendance, the low crowds. To me, that like set the stage and it was worth whatever. So will we have that again? I don't know. I mean, I'm hesitant to even look at social media and just see the hordes of people over there. To me, it's worth it. To each their own. Transitioning here, like, where all have you stayed in your membership?
I have stayed at every DVC resort on property. So Boardwalk, Beach Club, Animal Kingdom, obviously, Polynesian, Grand Floridian, you know, Contemporary, Bay Lake Tower, Copper Creek. I mean, I've stayed at all of the properties. And I, you know, I keep going back to Animal Kingdom Lodge because that's, for me, that's the jam, that's home. You know, when we walk in, we're home, we're on vacation. That's where we feel most at home and welcomed.
Yeah, my wife is the same way. It's her favorite resort. She would never, ever, ever go anyplace else if I wasn't the one doing the booking and saying, oh, well, we're going here this time, honey.
It's funny, you know, this just popped in my head, you know, random thought, but every time we stay at Saratoga Springs, you know, and you get the survey after you come home, you know, your email survey. Every time I fill out the survey after a stay at Saratoga Springs, I say the same thing over and over again in the last question. You know, what else could we do to make your trip better? I always say this, do something about the music and artist's palette, because the music in there almost makes me cry.
Really?
Yeah. And it's like it just has a sad, you know, vibe to it. I listen to it and I'm like, this music is like, it's going to make me cry. I'm on vacation. I don't want to cry. You know, I always say that. I'm like, change the music and artist palette. I always put that in there at the end of the survey, especially on your last day, you know, when you know your vacation's coming to an end and you're hearing this music and you're like, I don't want to hear this.
Well, they are overhauling it on this last trip down, I popped in and bought a souvenir that was, I had saw there the previous trip and they still had it. So I can tell you, artist palette is all torn up right now, and they're doing 20 ways a Sunday of remodeling it as part of the Saratoga remodel.
Yes.
So maybe they're going to come back in and listen to you and pipe in some different tunes there.
That's just a random thought. But, you know, going back to the question about how to maximize your DVC. So I've been thinking about it and I would just go back to kind of what we already talked about, right? So value rooms and club level, right? If you can get club level, you're going to maximize your DVC points, just in the sense that your breakfast is taken care of. You wake up in the morning, you got breakfast right there at your doorstep. You know, you go, you eat, and you're off to the parks, right? That's a huge win. And then you talked about the value rooms, right? Getting rooms for eight points, 9 points a night, getting the maximum number of nights out of your DVC that you can to extend your Walt Disney World vacations. Those are two big ways to do that. Probably not a huge secret.
So then, but if you can't get club and you can't get value at Animal Kingdom, are you going Savannah or are you going standard room?
I'm going Savannah, just because that's a huge part of the personality of Animal Kingdom Lodge, is that, you know, you have that Savannah, and I will go out and sit on the, you know, on the deck outside the room and just sit there and watch animals. I will get coffee. I'll make a cup of coffee in the morning, go out and sit and just relax, watch the animals, think, you know, make a great morning out of it. So yeah, that's Savannah for sure.
Okay. I just figured I would ask there because you mentioned values and stretching your points. And so I was like, I wonder if he's a standard room person there.
I'll take the standard room if I can get it. If I can't get the standard room, I'm going Savannah.
Got it. Because I've always thought, well, you know, you could always just come to those common areas and sit out there. And I don't drink coffee, but if I did, I've even got the mug refill right around the corner there at Kidani. So yep. Hop in there, get your mug refill, go sit on the public balcony and check things out. That's always been my thoughts, but my wife is like, Savannah. So,
yeah, I mean, it's a, you know, that's the personality of the resort is the Savannah. I mean, that's a big part of it.
Gotcha. Have you ever stayed in a treehouse, a bungalow, a cabin, any of the bigger grand villas?
I have stayed in the Animal Kingdom Lodge Grand Villa at Jambo House. And I will tell you that It's one level, and it is huge. It was back in 2010. Me and another person hosted what was called a grand gathering in a grand villa. And we sold tickets to it. We raised money for Give Kids the World. We sold, I think it was 40 tickets. So 40 people in this grand villa. You know, we had three balconies. You could go out and watch the animals. We went out and bought food, brought it in. We gave away some prizes. I think at the end of the day, we raised like $2,000 for Give Kids the World. But I actually, after everybody left, I got to stay in the room overnight. And here's the crazy part. After I checked out of that room, I had to go to Pop Century the next day, night.
Oh, man.
So I had like the grandest of accommodations. And then I all of a sudden went to the value accommodation.
With the plastic chairs and all that. So
yes. And the beauty of the grand villa was I could leave the mess behind.
Well, yeah, that's true.
I didn't have to worry about cleaning it up. But I, you know, staying in that room, you know, had a pool table. There were three TVs in there. The grand villas at Animal Kingdom Lodge at Jambo House are unbelievable. Again, one level, and they are just gigantic. Super. I mean, three balconies. You know, they sleep 12. But yeah, if you ever get a chance, and I have this idea that one day we're going to rent out one night in that same grand villa and just have a Super Bowl party. First week of February, you know, book the room, invite everybody over, you know, turn the Super Bowl on all TVs, just go at it, you know, pool table, food, you know, drinks, and just have a great time.
That sounds amazing, right? I mean, just like, absolutely, positively amazing. And I'm just looking at like what the rental value would have that been.
I think it's like, I want to say it's like 95 points a night or something like that. Maybe
it's not bad.
No, it isn't. It isn't. Not for a room like that. It's, again, just, you know, great rooms. Now, they are all the way at the end of the hall, so you do have to walk a ways to get to them, but they are, to me, they are worth it.
Yeah, it seems like when I've looked at the grand villas over at Animal Kingdom, they were about the third most affordable. Meaning Old Key West was the most affordable on the point charts. And then you went to Saratoga, and then you went up to Animal Kingdom for just bang for your buck number of points per night in the Grand Villas. So I bet you could pull one of those off again if you were to do it in like a low point season. And that would be a pretty good way to do a fundraiser.
Right. And, you know, that's February, right? So that first week of February is the Super Bowl. I mean, think about, you know, a grand villa or one of the cabins at Copper Creek Copper Creek, right? And then over at the Polynesian, you have the bungalows there. Imagine like having one of those for one night during the Super Bowl. I mean, that would be Sunday night into Monday. That'd be incredible.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you're getting into the area where you and Marissa from DVC Resale Market would be friends, because she's like Little Miss Splurge, we found out in her last episode, of just coming back in and splurging for like a night or two at one of these huge major point hog places.
Yes. Yeah. But you got to have this reason. You can't just, you know, book it and go to the theme parks and come back. You got to make it a party. You know, you got to like say, okay, I'm booking the room and we're going to stay in it all night. We're going to watch the Super Bowl. We're going to watch the Final Four.
Oh, trust me. I throw down the points for one of those bad boys. I ain't leaving.
Okay. Absolutely. You're turning on the Jets in the tub and everything, right?
You know, the other thing, would just to throw another cool idea out there, it seems like doing that at Bay Lake Tower with a Magic Kingdom view would be a great place to do it, to watch the fireworks.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, that'd be fantastic. You know, just, you know, pipe the music in. And no, I just think, you know, making an event out of staying in a grand villa, I think combining it with something like that is pretty fantastic. You know, invite, you know, 20 of your closest friends and say, hey, you know, let's go at it. Let's do it.
You know, I do own points at Bay Lake Tower. So maybe we'll just do a My DVC Points fundraiser and pull one of these things off there. So y'all stay tuned. Aaron's got me thinking.
All right. Okay? I'll kick in 10 points.
There you go, man. Well, speaking of which, okay, now this is a fun question, Aaron. Mm-hmm. And I forget to ask this question more often than not, but it's my Tinkerbell question. If Tinkerbell were to come along and put pixie dust on your account and give you 2,000 one-time use points, like you could do anything you want to in the DVC booking stratosphere, right? Guaranteed availability, 2,000 points, what would you spend them on?
I do a lot of club level at Animal Kingdom Lodge. I would book a week at Aulani, I would go out to the Grand Californian for a couple weeks and experience Disneyland. But most of it would be club level at Animal Kingdom Lodge. And I'd probably, because it's 2,000 points, I'd probably go one bedroom.
Oh, really? So you'd stretch this out with that?
Yes. And then I would do probably, you know, maybe a few, I'd do a Final Four and a Super Bowl and a Grand Villa, like we just talked about.
I was thinking something along those lines were coming up there.
Sure. So. Absolutely. In fact, maybe we even extend it two nights. Who knows?
Ooh, now we're talking, right?
Yeah, right.
Now you can have a day party in there as well.
Yes. I would not use those points to book a cruise because I don't think you get really good value for cruises or adventures by Disney trips. So I would probably avoid that, but I would certainly use the, you know, the points for the DVC resorts. It's an interesting time right now. I think we're getting to a point, and I was thinking about this the other day, where the Disney resorts are becoming in a way better than the theme parks. I mean, you walk into any deluxe Disney resort anymore and they're grandiose, right? I mean, you're walking in, you're looking at the lobby, your jaw drops. You're like, man, this is fantastic. And I wonder how many people go to Disney World and don't expect the resorts to be as nice as they are, but they expect the theme parks to be as nice as they are. And I think for a first time guest, I think that's one of the major reactions that you'll get from them is that I didn't expect this resort to be as nice as it is. I really believe that people walk into Disney World thinking they're going to go into not a cheap resort, but not as grandiose as they walk into. I think if you ask people that, they would tell you, I wasn't expecting the resort to be as nice as it is.
That is absolutely true, especially when you start talking about Animal Kingdom Jumbo House and you start talking about Copper Creek and Wilderness Lodge and even the lobby over at the little tiny Grand Flow building with the penguins and all that. It's quite impressive. Okay. So Saratoga, maybe not so much. Old US, not at all. Mm-hmm. I'm just being honest, right? But I think your Animal Kingdom Jumbo, yeah, you guys know how to do things over there. Yeah. So that's certainly got some wow factor to it.
But yeah, the resorts are, I think, just as big a part as the theme parks are. Like I say, first time guests walk in and I think they look at these resorts and go, wow, this is incredible.
Let's go ahead and wrap this show up. And I want to move over to your connect and your ask. Okay. And if you don't ask, I'm going to like demand. Let's hear your best pitch for getting people out to the Disney Indie Meet.
Okay, so the Indie Disney Meet, if you are in the Midwest and you have, you know, just have this craving for some Disney magic or you're just looking to get a Disney fix, you need to come to the Indie Disney Meet because we, for one day, bring Disney to you. You know, we bring the entertainment, we bring little subtleties like Dole Whips, we have a huge silent auction that has all kinds of Disney, you know, inspired items. You get to meet all of your Disney family, which could be Lou Mangiello, it could be Mike Rallman, it could be Chad Pennycuff, it could be your favorite travel agent. They're all going to be there for one day. And there's going to be characters there. I mean, you can take pictures with characters. You know, where else can you do that on September 21st, right? Indianapolis. So come on out. Expect a great day of Disney fun. We're going to do something really spectacular in raising money for Give Kids the World. Admission is free. Yes, free. Come on in. You can participate in the charitable activities. You don't have to. It's totally up to you, but it's just a day of Disney fun, and it's all put together for you, for the guest, and for Give Kids the World. So that's
absolutely guaranteed to get your pixie dust fix in. Now, I have to ask this other question as well. Last year, if you wore mouse ears, you got an extra raffle ticket. You know, can we get a little inside scoop? Is that sure. Going down this year?
Yeah, so everybody who comes to the meet gets one free raffle ticket. If you are wearing mouse ears of any kind, you get two more additional free raffle tickets for a total of three. So those raffle tickets are good for a chance to win. We're giving away $1,000 in Disney gift cards. Okay, we're giving away a bunch of great theme park items at our raffle table. You'll see them displayed when you come in. For every raffle ticket you have, you increase your chances of winning one of those great prizes. Winning one of those great Disney gift cards. And who couldn't use one of those? I mean, it's food and wine time, right? Food and wine festival's going on. You want to walk around World Showcase? It's going to cost you $50, $100, right? So, you know, you might win a gift card, you know, and if you do, then you're going to have even a better time at Epcot. So yeah, we, you know, wear your mouse ears, get a couple extra raffle tickets, increase your odds at winning one of those great prizes.
Sounds perfect, Aaron. I look forward to seeing you there at the Disney Indie Meet, and I look forward to meeting all of the listeners that are going to come by, stop by my table. I'll be there and meet me, a bunch of other podcasters, and my friends that podcast, and we'll just have a great time together.
That's awesome, Chad. I'm looking forward to seeing you and everybody else, and go like our page at Indie Disney Meet on Facebook.
Thanks so much, and thanks for joining us today, Aaron.
Thank you, Chad.
If you're looking for the links for the auction or the raffle tickets or over to Aaron's site, I can get you there really quick. Head on over to mydvcpoints.com/036. I've updated the show notes with all the links that you need to support Aaron there. If you can, come on out to the Disney Indie Meet September 21st. I would love to meet you guys in person. If you can't do that and you live within a commutable distance of the Detroit area, keep your calendar clear for November 9th. Aaron has inspired me to start my own little Disney meetup event to help raise some money for Give Kids the World. More to come on that. Thanks for listening, everybody, and have a magical day.
Ladies and gentlemen, please watch your head and step as you exit, and take small children by the hand.
Aw, cheer up, Dad. You know I'll come back. With DVC.
My DVC Points is an unofficial Disney-inspired podcast created by fans of Disney Vacation Club. The thoughts expressed in this podcast are personal opinions and personal experiences. My DVC Points is not affiliated with Disney Vacation Club, the Walt Disney Companies, or any subsidiaries. We encourage listeners to contact their DVC guide or member services for official DVC policies.